الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences, many fadail, many virtues of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, which is found in Al-Jami'u al-Saghir, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, زَيِّنُوا مَجَالِسَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ عَلَيَّ Decorate your gatherings by reciting salat upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ عَلَيَّ نُورٌ لَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ For indeed your recitation of salat upon me will be light, will be noor for you on the day of judgment. SubhanAllah, just think for a moment. When we cross the bridge of Sirat, there may be difficulty. And the narrations do tell us that some people will fall from the bridge of Sirat. But what will act as a guiding light on the Day of Judgment whilst crossing the bridge of Sirat? That's none other than Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi. That Salawat will become Noor for us on the Day of Judgment. And when we attain that Noor at the most crucial moment, when crossing the bridge of Sirat, insha'Allahul Aziz, will be able to cross successfully, easily, and with afiyah, with goodness and well-being. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to recite Durood Sharif in our gatherings in abundance. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, let's make some good intentions prior to listening to the bayan. First of all, you should know that without a good intention, reward isn't obtained for a good deed. And secondly, the more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain. So let's make the intention that we are here, viewers are at home or wherever they may be and are tuning in right now with this intention that they want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah becomes pleased with someone, what more can that person ask for? This is the ultimate goal, to attain the rida, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also make the intention that as long as you're listening to the bayan, you will try your utmost to avoid all forms of distraction. So that may be in the form of the mobile phone, maybe looking at who is coming and going, whatever form of distraction that is, try your utmost to avoid it, inshallah. Why must you avoid distractions when listening to sacred knowledge? Because if you don't avoid distractions, then it's possible that you might hear something considering it to be halal, when in actual fact it is haram. Or The speaker may say something is haram, impermissible, and you consider that he said it was permissible. So it's very, very careful. It's very, very important that we listen to the bayan with full attention, inshallah. Also make the intention that whatever you remember from the bayan, whatever stays in your mind, you will try your utmost to remember that. How will you be able to remember it and preserve it? By acting upon it. If you just listen to it, it goes through one ear and then comes out the other ear, you don't act upon it, you'll soon forget that knowledge. So if you act upon it, you're solidifying that knowledge. And then when you pass that knowledge on to others, this is also a form of preserving that knowledge as well. So you've got that knowledge, you're acting upon it, you pass it on to others, they act upon it. It's a win-win situation. Multiple rewards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to make good intentions prior to good deeds in abundance. Ameen. There was an extremely lush green garden, green orchard, located in an area called Sabzwar, a city of Iran. In the center of the city was a stream of crystal clear water flowing with a beautiful reservoir centered in the orchard, making it a luxurious landscape. The ruler of Sabzwar was also the owner of this orchard. He was a tyrant, an ill-mannered and rude person. It was part of his routine that whenever he would visit his orchard, he would cause terrible commotion, noises, and annoyance whilst in a state of intoxication, ma'adallah. He would consume a lot of alcohol. One day, Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, a Sayyid Mu'inuddin Hassan Sanjari Chishti Ajmeri, was known as Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, rahmatullahi alayh. He happened to pass by this orchard. He, rahmatullahi alayh, took a ritual bath in that stream and began to perform 2 raka'at of nawafil, voluntary prayer. The guards informed him about the cruelty and severity of their ruler. So they complained to Khwaja Sahib that our ruler, very cruel, is a tyrant. Thus, expressing their fear, they requested him to leave, lest the ruler may harm him. So they said to Khwaja Sahib that our ruler is very cruel. So we advise you to leave, otherwise he may end up harming you. Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi said, Allah is my protector and custodian. In the meantime, the ruler of Sabzwar entered and headed towards the reservoir, only to find a Sufi, meaning Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi, at his place of luxury and pleasure. This threw him into a fit of rage, and before he could utter anything, the eminent Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi gave just one glance at him, looked at him once, which changed the tyrant and cruel ruler's life. The ruler could not bear the manifestation of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz's sight and fell unconscious. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, took a handful of water from the reservoir and sprinkled it on the ruler's face. The moment he regained consciousness, he immediately fell on his knees before Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi and wept bitterly, repenting for his sins. And thereafter he took the allegiance, spiritual allegiance, bay'ah, on the hands of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Now, on the instruction of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi, this tyrant ruler, who was a tyrant ruler, he's changed now. He returned all the wealth to their rightful owners that were extorted from them due to his cruelty and joined the blessed company of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi. Khwaja Sahib bestowed upon him inner self-blessings and virtues in a very short span of time, also awarding him with khilafah, spiritual succession, and then Khwaja Sahib left that place. Subhanallah. Dear Islamic brothers, what do we learn from this account? We learn that the awliyaullah, the saints of Allah, the chosen, muqarrab people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not fear worldly people. They do not fear any cruel tyrant of the dunya. Their hearts are filled with khashiyya, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. So when the guards told Khwaja Sahib to leave, lest the ruler might harm him, he said, no, Allah is my protector. Allah will save me. And what happened? When that ruler actually came and he saw Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz in his garden, in the ruler's garden, he went into a state of anger. But all it took was one glance of Khwaja Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, which changed the fate of this tyrant ruler. So we also learn that Allah Ta'ala has placed immense authority in the sight of awliyaullah rahimahumullah ta'ala. What me and you and normal people can't do, awliyaullah can do. I don't want to go into the lengthy hadith, but in a hadith Qudsi, it states that when Allah makes someone his beloved, his wali, what happens? Allah becomes the sight through which that wali sees. Allah becomes the hearing through which that wali hears. Allah Ta'ala becomes the hand through which that wali grips. Remember, all of this is not physically, because our belief as Muslims is Allah Ta'ala is free from body parts. Allah Ta'ala is free from having a physical body. Allah Ta'ala is unlike his creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ Allah is unlike his creation. So what does this mean? Allah becomes his sight, Allah becomes his ears, Allah becomes his hand. The feet have been mentioned as well. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi explains, and he says, what this means is Allah Ta'ala's manifestation of light, the nur of Allah, the jalal of Allah, a manifestation of that is bestowed upon that wali so that he sees things that ordinary people can't see. He hears things from a distance that ordinary people can't hear. He has tasarruf, he's able to do things, and he has authority bestowed upon him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The earth folds for the awliya Allah. They're able to travel long distances in a short space of time. Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi only took one glance at this sinner, this cruel tyrant ruler, and changed his destiny bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And that ruler became obedient, pious, a murid of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, and also his khalifa as well. This is why we today even should seek out the pious men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliyaullah. Allah Ta'ala has blessed people differently in the dunya. Some people have more wealth. Some people have maybe a better status in terms of the dunya than others. And most definitely there are people in society who are more pious than others, who have attained the ranks of piety. They obey Allah in open, public, and in private, in secret as well. They never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has protected them and preserved them. They are from the mahfuzeen. They are from those who Allah has protected. And not everybody is like that. Our situation is different. We may find it easy to worship when we're in the masjid, but when we're at home, our hearts become lazy. When we're in the open, in the public eye, we may be able to save ourselves from sins, but when we're at home alone, maybe we're not able to save ourselves from sins. But the awliya Allah, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, they are truly blessed by Allah. Their states are the same whether in public or private. They don't have nifaq fil amal. They don't have hypocrisy in their action. And Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was from such people that his glance alone upon the heart of a sinner would change the life of that sinner. This is what Allah Ta'ala had bestowed him with. And you just heard this from the the account as well. So Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullahi Alayh, his name Mu'inuddin, this is a title actually, Mu'inuddin Hassan Sanjari Chishti Ajmeri Rahmatullahi Alayh, was born in 537 Hijri, corresponding to 1142 AC, in a place called Sanjar, an area of Sistan or Sijistan in present-day Iran. Now, Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullahi Alayh was from the noble lineage of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from both his mother and father's side. He was a Hassani and Husayni Sayyid. So he was noble from both sides. Now, Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullahi Alayhi's famous titles are what? Mu'inuddin, Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, Sultanul Hind, Warithun Nabi, Atai Rasul. And his blessed lineage is Sayyid Mu'inuddin Hassan bin Sayyid Ghiyathuddin Hassan bin Sayyid Najmuddin Tahir bin Sayyid Abdul Aziz. His parents, subhanallah, they were also mountains of piety. It's mentioned here, the respected father of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz was regarded amongst the wealthy and influential people of Sanjar. He, rahimahullah, was exceedingly pious and was also endowed with saintly miracles. The honorable mother of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi was also a woman of excellent character who would remain engaged in worship and devotion. Now, at the age of 15, Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi lost his father. His father passed away. He inherited an orchard and a water mill which served as his means of livelihood. He would look after the orchard and irrigate the trees himself. Before I move on, we just heard about the parents of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi, both his mother and father, and how they were exceedingly pious. They obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when you have a mother and father who obey Allah jalla wa ala, who fulfill the fara'id, who refrain from the muharramat, the prohibited actions, who refrain from sins, then Allah ta'ala will bless them with a son like Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayh. Today we have such dreams as well. That our child, we want our child to be the most pious, and the most God-fearing, a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's beautiful to have these intentions. But when we look at the reality, our own states are quite bad. So how can we wish to have a son who is from the awliya Allah when we ourselves fall short? We barely are able to perform our 5 daily salah. People don't give their zakat by and large. In the month of Ramadan, the slightest reason we leave the fast. Hajj has become fard upon someone since decades. They don't go. So when we have such desires and dreams, sometimes we need a reality check. That Khwaja Sahib's mother and father did the work. They put in the work. They obeyed Allah day and night. They were devotees of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, reciting it day and night. They never went towards haram or shubuhat, doubtful things. Allah blessed them with a son like Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz. Today, if we want our children to be pious, and to be born pious, to inherit piety, then we must ourselves be pious as well. We must fear Allah openly, publicly, and in private as well. Let's listen to another account of the great Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. One day, when Khwaja Mu'inuddin Chishti Ajmeri rahmatullahi alayh was watering the plants in his orchard, a pious majzoob saint, Sayyiduna Ibrahim Qanduzi rahmatullahi alayh, entered the orchard. As soon as Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayh saw this glorious personality, he kissed his blessed hands, made him sit under the shade of a tree, and presented him with a bunch of grapes, a cluster of grapes, and then sat while kneeling before the saint. The saint of Allah Azza wa Jal was delighted to see the great courtesy of this young man. He took out a piece of cake from his bag, chewed it, and then offered it to Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. The moment that Khwaja Sahib swallowed this piece of cake, which was given to him by this majzoob saint, what happened? His inner being and his heart now had a distaste for the love of worldliness, disinclination to the dunya. Now what happened thereafter? He rahmatullahi alayh sold his mill, his orchard, and all his worldly belongings, and distributed his wealth amongst the poor and the destitute, and became a traveler in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal for the sake of acquiring religious education and knowledge. Today, when we hear the name of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, we hear about his accomplishments, we hear about his blessed attributes, and we think maybe he was like this from day one. But we just heard how, when his father passed away at the age of 15, Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayh inherited that orchard from his father. And then this incident occurred where he served a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That saint blessed him with that piece of cake. He consumed that piece of cake, and his inner being changed such that Allah ta'ala filled his heart with spirituality, with noor, that he became averse to the dunya. He disliked the dunya. He sold his orchard, sold his belongings, made massive sacrifices for the deen, and only then did he become Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Today we think it's simple. It's not simple. Our buzurgani deen, our pious elders, rahimahumullahul mubeen, if you read their biographies, they made massive sacrifices, great sacrifices, to the extent that Khwaja Sahib sold all of his assets, everything he had, in pursuit of sacred knowledge, and he traveled in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when he traveled to seek knowledge, let's hear about who he studied under, where did he travel, where did his pursuit of knowledge lead him. Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayh started traveling at the young age of 15. So he sold his orchard at 15 when his father passed away. He arrived at the great center of learning in Samarkand, in the court of Mawlana Sharafuddin rahmatullahi alayh, where he formally began to seek sacred knowledge. First of all, he became a hafiz of the Quran. He memorized Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And then he acquired other branches of knowledge to the extent that he had amassed numerous branches of knowledge. So that's your Ulum Al-Quran, Tafsir, Usul Al-Tafsir, Ilm Al-Lugha, Ilm Al-Balagha, Ilm Al-Ma'ani, all of these sciences. Then you have Arabic grammar, of course, Ilm Al-Nahu, Ilm Al-Sarf. He studied Hadith, the sciences of Hadith, Asma'ul Rijal. He studied Fiqh, Usul Al-Fiqh. So many sciences he became a master of by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the more he would study, the more he would thirst for sacred knowledge. The more knowledge he wanted. So this led him to go to the court of Mawlana Hussamuddin Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, and he became his student. And he graduated in all sciences of knowledge of the deen under his tutelage. And he stayed in total 5 years in Samarkand and Bukhara for acquiring spiritual knowledge. 5 years. Today, when we ask people to come to the masjid, there'll be a halaqa, study circle, or ijtima, which will last 1 or 2 hours on a Thursday evening in Fazani Medina, Stechford, or any other Fazani Medina. We bring out a whole heap of excuses. I can't come for this reason or that reason, or my time is limited. Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi spent 5 years, day and night, in the way of Allah seeking knowledge. And he didn't live a luxurious life, because you just heard he sold his orchard. He sold his belongings. He had tawakkul ala Allah. He had reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Became one of the greatest scholars of his time. Thereafter, he found his shaykh. He gave bay'ah to his shaykh. That further increased him in piety and spirituality. To the extent that, subhanallah, we know that one of the greatest feats of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayh is that through him, Allah made him a wasila, through him, 9 million people embraced Islam. Now, many of us who are from the subcontinent, it could very well be the case that one of our ancestors, who was the first Muslim from our elders, he may have become a Muslim through the barakah of Khwaja Gharib Nawaz, rahmatullahi ta'ala. Because Khwaja Sahib reverted 9 million people. It's easier said than done. And this was through his piety, through his lectures, through his gentle approach, through his own taqwa. People came flocking to him. People accepted Islam on his hands. He was a true ambassador of Islam. Now, you'd think that somebody who has reverted 9 million followers, 9 million people to Islam, 9 million non-Muslims to Islam, and he must have had loads of spiritual disciples himself. Someone like that would just relax, put his feet up and say, look, I've done a lot. But no. Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi, till his last breath, till he left this world, he was in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he never ever gave precedence to the luxury of the world over the deen. Let's listen to a few things in this regard, that Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi lived a very simple life. He could have had everything. He could have had slaves and khadimeen all around him. They're at his beck and call. Whenever he calls any of them, they're ready to fulfill his request and wish. But no, he didn't live like that. He was a true man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He followed his great-grandfather Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ شِئْتُ لَسَارَتْ مَعِيَ جِبَالُ الذَّهَبِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I had wanted, then mountains of gold would walk alongside me. This is the ikhtiyar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people wrongly assume that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's poverty, meaning the life that he lived, he was compelled to live that life. No, that wasn't the case. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's faqr was ikhtiyari. He chose it himself. He chose to live that life himself. Otherwise, I just mentioned the hadith to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I wanted, I would have mountains of gold walk alongside. But he didn't choose that life. And Khwaja Gharib Nawaz was from the lineage of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the greatest saints of the ummah. In the 6th century he appeared, reverted 9 million people to Islam, had many murideen. Yet look at his way of living. Let's listen to it. It stated, first of all, regarding his ibadah, Allahu Akbar, it says that Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi would offer his Salatul Fajr with the wudu of Salatul Isha. What does that tell you? That tells you he gave priority to the worship of Allah over sleep. Slept very little. Ibadah, ibadah, ibadah. The men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know that his life is very short. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. They maximize their time. Whereas we, on the other hand, we have plans to have lions sleep for 9, 10 hours. Whereas these people, the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knew that once you're in your grave, and if you pass the test, your grave becomes a garden of paradise, you will sleep peacefully in the grave. And in the dunya, you do work. This is darul amal. This is where you need to do work. So Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi alayh would also recite Al-Quran Al-Kareem abundantly. It's stated in his biography that he would complete the recitation of 2 Quran-e-Pak every single day. That's the barakah he had in his time. Today, we should ask ourselves, when was the last time we opened Al-Quran Al-Kareem? And for many, it might be the case that it was Ramadan Kareem, that we think, or we have this mindset that I only read the Quran in Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. You will not find a single verse or a narration which states that. Yes, you're told that Ramadan will bring more blessings, more reward. But that doesn't mean we neglect the recitation of the Quran for the rest of the year. Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi alayh recited the Quran-e-Pak twice every single day. Then it's mentioned regarding his eating habit. Today, because of social media, because of other issues, people, you know, they showcase what they eat, they post what they eat, big, big portions, big meals, become a trend. Everyone's involved in it. We have to take a picture of the meal before we eat it. We may forget the dua. We may forget the dua before eating, after eating, but we'll definitely take a picture. Look at Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullahi Alayhi. It states regarding him that he would eat very little, and the reason for that is he wanted to remove laziness when engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's understandable. When you've got a full stomach, and people eat till they're bloated, you're not going to be able to perform worship. And if you do, what kind of ibadah will it be? Will there be lazza? Will there be sweetness of iman in that ibadah? Of course not. So the awliya Allah, the sufiya ikram, they know that one of the best ways to attain spirituality in ibadah is to look after the stomach. What enters the stomach and in what quantity it enters the stomach. So Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi would eat less to remove laziness and the need for much sleep. And it stated regarding him that he would eat bread soaked in water weighing only 5 mithqal. 5 mithqal, it states here, is about 2.5 tola. And he would eat this after 7 days, once every 7 days. Look at the spirituality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him, that every 7 days he would do this. Then in regards to his clothing, simplicity. Today, again, there's this craze of wearing attire which is very expensive, branded. We have to show that brand. We have to wear it so that people look at us and people assume we're very wealthy or we dress in a very classy way. But look at Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala. It stated regarding him that his clothing was merely 2 mantles with many parts patched, any tears or any rips. And Allahu Akbar, the simplicity of his stitching, this is also worth noting as well. It was such that he would use any kind of cloth for the stitches without bothering to match them. So he could have had a patch here with a different stitching, a patch here with a different stitching. But remember, the awliyaullah, their focus is solely upon the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not what people will think about them. If they spend their lives thinking about what others may say, then they would never have attained the heights they attained, the ranks they attained, the spirituality, the taqarrub ilallah, the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every amal was khalisatan liwajhillah, was sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were mukhlis, they were from the mukhlisin. We pray that Allah ta'ala grants us a portion of their sincerity as well. Now, another thing regarding Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, his forgiveness and tolerance. He's a waliullah. He knew the Qur'an Pak. He knew what's expected of him as a Muslim. He knew about huququl ibad. He knew about the rights of the believers. It stated that he was very soft-hearted, tolerant, and a thoughtful person. His anger was only for the honor and dignity of Islam. Even if somebody uttered any unpleasant thing to him, he, rahmatullahi alayhi, would not get annoyed. Rather, he would show graceful behavior without losing his patience and tolerance. And in exchange, he would exercise a great deal of patience as if he did not hear anything unpleasant. Meaning he would forget about it. Like today, certain things we choose to listen to and forget about. But look at Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. This great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would choose to forget those things that people would say about him that would normally harm people. When they would speak ill of him, when they would dishearten him, when they would offend him, he would forget those things. We, on the other hand, somebody said something to us 20 years ago, we'll still remember it today, as if it was said yesterday. So we don't like that person. He once spoke to me like this. He once said this regarding me. And here the awliyaullah teaching us that we should forgive, we should be tolerant. Again, look at the life of the awliyaullah, the saints of Islam, look at the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were those who truly followed in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed and beloved uncle, Sayyiduna Amir Hamza radiyallahu an is mutilated, martyred in a very horrific way. But when the perpetrator Sayyiduna Wahshi radiyallahu ta'ala came and asked for forgiveness, and he begged for forgiveness from the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet alayhi salam forgave him. Imagine that. Such an act was committed, but the Prophet alayhi salam forgave him. Sayyiduna Wahshi, Sahabi Rasul, Jannati, will go to paradise. And then it was written in his fate to kill who? To send Musaylimah Kazzab to Jahannam. And he says that there was once a day when I killed the best of people, Sayyiduna Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu, and today I've got rid of the worst of people, Musaylimah Kazzab. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was forbearing, was forgiving. The people of Makkah are lined up before him on the day of the conquest of Makkah. They're all fearing, but they know about the forbearance of the Prophet alayhi salam. And in the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them what Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, that la tathriba alaykum al-yawm, there's no rebuke upon you today. Go, you're free. So Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi alayhi, any saint of Islam you read about, you will find that they embodied the prophetic teachings. They embodied the sunnah. They were ashiks of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were true devotees and didn't just merely make claims. You will see in their lives how they forgave people, how they adopted simplicity, like Khwaja Gharib Nawaz, how they were disinclined to the dunya. These were true men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's our great fortune that today we speak about them. When we speak about them, number one, it's with the intention that we try and follow them. And secondly, whenever we speak about the awliya Allah, the saints of Allah, the pious people of Allah, عند ذكر الصالحين تنزل الرحمة. Mercy descends when we speak about the pious. So right now, for the last half an hour, 40 minutes, we've been speaking about Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi alayh. We've heard glimpses of his blessed life. All that time, khas rahmah of Allah has been showering upon this gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love for the awliya Allah. Grant us tawfiq to follow in their footsteps, to follow their teachings, to embody their teachings, and to live in this manner, and to die in this manner as well. Ameen. Bijahi an-Nabiy al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.